Are you a paddle sports enthusiast? Have you ever traveled to paddle? What's your favorite destination? This is Darrell Conner filling in today for Larry Mueller. Thanks for joining us on the Ideas Network. With me in the studio today is Darren Bush. He is the chief paddling evangelist and owner of Rutabaga Paddle Sports, and he will answer your questions. We will also discuss his recent experiences traveling to various destinations to paddle and how you can plan a trip. What do you enjoy most about paddling? What's your favorite destination to paddle? Where do you plan on going this year? Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. That number again is 1-800-642-1234, or email us at WPR.org. Darren, it's a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Darren, before we really get into this, I'm curious as to how you discovered your passion for paddle sports.
It was basically an antidote for graduate school. I was in a pretty demanding program, and I lived on the Erie Canal. Student housing was on the Erie Canal at University of Rochester, and I would paddle down the Erie Canal and then paddle down the Genesee River and then pull my boat out and walk it across the quad to my building and shove it in the hallway, and found pretty quickly that I was happier when I was paddling than I was sitting in a laboratory. And moved back to Madison after I finished my degree and started working at this little paddle sports shop just for fun. I had a real job. I was a statistician, basically.
Okay.
And was doing that. But, it didn't spark joy, right?
So was this something that you started doing as a kid, or did you discover this as an adult?
Sort of. So I grew up in California near the beach. So
okay.
We spent a lot of time in the water goofing off. And so I liked water, but essentially where I lived was a desert. So rivers and lakes didn't really exist. And when I moved to Madison 35 years ago, my wife is a native, and she transplanted me. I recognized that there was water everywhere, and it just spoke to me. And I started paddling a little bit when I was an undergrad, did some trips, and just really loved it. And after 4 or 5 years of working for the state, I took a giant leap of faith and started working full-time in the industry, and then bought out the guy who owned the shop that I was working at in 2002.
How do you explain the popularity of paddle sports in general?
You know, it sounds weird. It's a spiritual thing. You know, people love yoga because it helps them, you know, draws them to, you know, the breath, you know, the prana, and people love meditation. I look at paddling as sort of a kinetic form of meditation. When I'm paddling, pretty much everything drops away, and it's really interesting. I can feel my heart rate slow down. I can feel my breath deeper, and plus it takes you to places you can't normally go. You can hike, but you're still on a footpath, right? And but when you paddle, you leave zero trace because the water moves out of the way and the water moves back. So it's probably the closest thing to zero trace you can get.
Well, Darren, you've been on the show many times, and so people know you and they know about Canoocopia, which we'll talk about in just a bit. But I had heard that you had been doing some traveling to paddle. So where have you been since you've been on last?
Since I've been on last, went up north to the Boundary Waters, went up to northern Wisconsin and paddled some on the chains of lakes up there. Just got back from Italy. Wasn't able to paddle there because it was winter. But I was sitting in a barber shop overlooking the Arno that flows through the city, and I look over there, and there's a guy in a kayak zooming by, and I'm like, dang. I want to be in that club.
Yeah.
I've paddled all over the Mediterranean. The one I'm really looking forward to is April. I'm going to Ghent in Belgium.
Oh wow!
Because Ghent and it's kind of like the Venice of Belgium. There's canals running through the streets, and there's a small canoe company there that I've been talking to, and they're going to loan me some gear so I can go paddle around on the canals in Ghent.
How do you decide where to go?
Places present themselves. you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of like, or decide to go skiing or whatever. It just happens. And I told my wife, when I retire, I'll be able to paddle someplace where someone has invited me to go paddle for the rest of my life and probably die with a list. It's like, yeah, when you're ready, come up and paddle. I'm like, I have a job. No, it's a fun job, but I have a job. I can't just take off 3 weeks to go to Greenland. But I've got a bucket list.
What's your favorite thing about, we talked about your passion for paddling, but what's your favorite thing about traveling to paddle?
Most places in the world, paddling is not something people see on a regular basis. Italy is a great example. I did a trip once from Sorrento, which is the end of the southern part of Naples, okay, out around the island of Capri, and then down the Amalfi Coast. And when you pull up on the beach, people came flocking over because they hadn't seen a kayak before except on television when, you know, in the Olympics or whatever. All sorts of questions, and you really connect with people that way. And everybody who paddles or uses the water, or, you know, they have something in common. Like even the fishermen that go out and fish in their little boats kind of saunter over, and then we go look at their boats and talk about it. And it's like, yeah, who made your boat? It was made here. And talk about the different woods they use. And it's just, there's that connection with people.
Darren Bush joins us. He is the chief paddling evangelist and owner of Rutabaga Paddle Sports. Answering your questions, we're also going to discuss his recent experiences traveling to various destinations to paddle. We'll talk about how you can plan a trip. But give us a call. What do you enjoy most about paddling? What's your favorite destination to paddle? Where do you plan on going this year? Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Or send us an email at WPR.org. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Terry in La Crosse. Good morning, Terry. Hello.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Did you have a question for Darren?
Actually, the initial question was, where have you paddled and what kind of paddling do you do? And I'm on a dragon boat team here in La Crosse. We started a dragon boat festival in 2013, and it has just really caught on in our community. People love it. We have lots of, you know, different divisions, and we have a youth paddling program. But most recently, there was a group of us from the Midwest, including some of your ladies from Madison, from the Team Survivor dragon boat team. We went to Italy this past summer for an international breast cancer survivor dragon boat festival. So
cool.
It was just an exhilarating, life-changing experience, because not only do we love to paddle and we love to be out in the water, but we're meeting women from all over the world and doing something that's healthy and fit. And I agree with Darren, there's a meditative component too. You can have a bad day, but once you're on the water paddling, everything just kind of fades away, and you're just into the focus and the discipline of paddling.
That's a wonderful story. Yeah, Team Survivor actually paddles out of our shop. We store their boat there, and we sent one of our staff off to dragon boat coaching school years ago so she can learn how to coach. And Nancy is retired from us now, but she still is involved and still comes and coaches. But, yeah, it's a fantastic program. Most of the people in Team Survivor Madison are cancer survivors. Well, all of them are. But a fair number of them are breast cancer survivors. And, they're just remarkable women. So, yeah, to go and all over the world and meet other women who are, you know, survivors. And also, you know, they don't speak any English, or, you know, it doesn't matter, right? You're connected.
Thank you for the call, Terry. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Adam in Deerfield. Good morning, Adam. Hello.
Hi, Larry. Hi, Darren.
Hi.
So I was Darren. I actually know Darren. Worked Canoeacopia, but I heard the radio show and was pretty excited to hear you guys. So my background is I got introduced to canoeing from the time I was itty bitty. I have a paddle that was given to me. Oh, gosh, I don't know how old I was, but it comes up to about my knees now. And so it was very small. I remember a picture of me in the Boundary Waters. I was just a baby laid down in the bottom of the canoe, and a smallmouth that my dad had caught was laid alongside me for about a comparable size. And so it was very str- strong, you know, as far as having that kind of influence. And it's just a great thing. And I've been able to pass it on to my kids. My daughter, the choir daughter, through my partner, she and I did a trip on the Wisconsin River, and I was having some challenges getting along with her daughter. It just wasn't kind of clicking, but we went paddling, and all of a sudden, with that incorporated also with some fishing, we just have had this really neat bond since. And after that, we've taken she and a bunch of friends, that's her request for a birthday gift to, from me, is to take her paddling on the Wisconsin every year. So we take her and some select friends out paddling, and it's oftentimes their first times, and it's always a blast. They have so much fun. So it's just a great time.
And there you go. Yeah, no, that's fantastic stories. Two things. Number one, my kids are both out of the house, but in their rooms in the corner stacked are their paddles from when they were infants, and they just get longer and longer and longer. And so it's, I walk in their rooms, see these paddles in the corner. It brings back wonderful memories. I joke that I can watch a couple paddle together for 5 minutes and tell that they'll still be married in 5 years. you've got to communicate. You know, you can't just get out there and wing it. So, yeah.
Adam, thank you so much for the call. Steve in Madison sent us an email. He wanted to ask if anyone has made a paddle tour venture along, and I'm going to hope I pronounce this right, the Draa River, D-R-A-A, Valley of Southeast Morocco. Either Draa or Draa.
Oh, put that on my list. Oh, my gosh. I don't know, but Morocco is amazing. It's on my list. I've been to Istanbul, and I wanted to paddle there, but the Bosphorus is full of jellyfish. Like, you look down, and you could walk across the Bosphorus on jellyfish.
Wow.
It's kind of amazing. I'm like, I think I'll pass. But Morocco sounds amazing. And one of the cool things about boats now is there's folding and collapsible and portable boats. So even if there isn't an outfitter there, you can pack a boat up in a bag about the size of a golf bag and take it on the airlines with you and paddle anywhere you want. But please send me an email of that to Darren B, D-A-R-R-E-N, letter B, at Rutabaga. I'd love to hear more about it.
Darren Bush joins us. He is the chief paddling evangelist and owner of Rutabaga Paddle Sports. We are answering your questions. We're talking about his recent experiences traveling to various destinations to paddle, talk about how you can plan a trip. What do you enjoy most about paddling? What's your favorite destination to paddle? Where do you plan on going this year? Do you have questions about Canoocopia, which is coming up in next month, actually, March 8th through 10th at the Align Energy Center? We'll talk more with Darren about that. Darrell Connor with you, filling in for Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Darren Bush, who's the chief paddling evangelist and owner of Rutabaga Paddle Sports, joins us on the Ideas Network. Darrell Connor filling in today for Larry Mueller. Thank you so much for joining us. He's here to answer your questions. We're also discussing his recent experiences traveling to various destinations to paddle, and also talk about how you can plan your trip. And we're taking your calls. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. That number again is 1-800-642-1234. Or send us an email at WPR.org. Before we get back to the phones, Darren, I wanted to ask you, what about equipment? You know, how do you go about getting what you need, especially if you're going to travel?
Talk to someone who's done it before. Okay. That's the first thing. And, you know, go to a reputable shop. There's lots of them, not just mine. And just talk to people. And you're going to get good advice. Online's good. Forums are good. You have to be a little careful sometimes because not everything on the internet is true. I looked. I Googled, is everything on the internet true? And it came up and said, no. So yeah. There's good stuff out there, but you know, I love talking to people about that kind of stuff. Even if we don't have it, I don't care. I mean, there's a lot of folding craft we don't carry just because it's one of those things that just doesn't fit into what we normally do. But, I know all those guys, so I can tell you where to go to get it.
Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Mike in Sun Prairie. Good morning, Mike. Hello.
Yeah, Up in northeast Dane County, there's the mighty, muddy Monashaw River, and when this snow starts to melt, it's going to run pretty fast. Unfortunately, there are snags all up and down it. How do you start getting maybe some interest in clearing something like that?
That's a really good question. The Dane County Water Trails is a small volunteer group, and they actually cleaned out the Monashaw probably 10 years ago, but again, entropy works, right? Things are going to fall and things are going to get in the way. But yeah, if there's an outfitter on that river, like the Sugar River has some outfitters, and they have a vested interest in keeping the trees from clogging things up too much. Although you don't want to take them out all the way because, you know, it's fish habitat, but they'll cut a, you know, 5 foot wide chunk in the log where you can sneak through. But yeah, it's, I think Steve Falter is the guy you want to talk to. It's either Capital City Water Trails or Dane County Water Trails. I can't remember which.
Thank you for the call, Mike. You know, Darren, what's important, what are some of the important, most important things to know when you're planning on paddling in a different country?
Well, the same things you need if you normally travel there. You need, you know, if you need immunizations, you need that. Basically, you're going to be on your own, and you know, there's no cavalry. So if you're paddling the Wisconsin River and something happens, you know, there'll be a sheriff in a boat there, you know, pretty quickly. If you're on that river in Morocco, you're on that river in Morocco, and so you better have some ability to take care of yourself, you know, whether it's a doctor on the trip or, you know, first aid or your own experiences. But, you know, I've got friends that paddle in the Himalayas, you know, and you're on your own.
And since the fact that you're on your own when you're traveling, you know, in a different country, what are some of the essentials that you should have with you whenever you do so?
I think it depends on your medical situation. Obviously, if you've got, you know, difficulties, you need your medications and stuff like that, water purification, things like that. Most of the places I've paddled have been not industrialized, that's the wrong word, but fairly urban. I mean, sea kayaking around Capri was kind of luxurious because you pull up on the beach at the end of the day and walk up to a restaurant have a really good meal. You know, that's not a question I really can answer truthfully. It depends on the situation. It depends on the people. It depends on so many different factors.
Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Mary Lou in Monroe. Good morning, Mary Lou. Hello.
Good morning. Unfortunately, my question is a lot more local. I'd like to be in the Himalayas, but not this year. I loved canoe. I've done that for many, many years. Did it up north. We do a lot of our canoeing way up in the northern part of the state. However, I have a couple of young grandchildren that can't get up north with me that often, so I want to go kayaking. We've got our own kayaks down here also, maybe on the Sugar River. I like that better than the big lakes. My question is, with one driver and two young children, any creative ideas how to get your kayaks in and then pick them up and get out 5 miles downstream? Has anybody thought of a way to do that with one driver and one car?
Yes, and no. So are they, if they're kids, you can leave alone in the car, which probably isn't a good idea. I wouldn't. You probably need another adult to stay with them. But what I do often is run a shuttle, which is I'll basically drop my gear off, drive to where I'm pulling out, leave my car, and somehow get back to where my boats are and then paddle to my car. You want to be able to go to your vehicle, otherwise you get to the end and you got all this drama to deal with. Sometimes I'll ride a bike. Sometimes I'll stick my thumb out on the side of the road, and sometimes people will stop and pick me up, which I can't recommend to anybody, but I do it all the time. If you're carrying a paddle and have a life jacket on, people know why you're there. And you know, within 3 minutes, someone pulls over and says, "Hey, where are you paddling to?" And there you go. So I officially discourage the despicable act of hitchhiking, so you know.
Mary Lou, thank you so much for the call. Mary Lou brought up an interesting point about the fact that she does a lot of her paddling, or most of it locally, and I'm sure a lot of people do. Most people probably do. So for those who want to stay closer to home, what travel resources can you tell us about?
Well, first of all, you want an outfitter. If you've never been there before, that is the best way to start. I mean, if you've got boats, that's great. But like, I'll paddle at Kickapoo, and there's some outfitters on the Kickapoo, and I'll take my own boats, but I'll pay them to move me around. And at the same time, it's like, hey, what's going on? It's like, yeah, 5 miles down, there's a log jam. You'll need to pull out on the left. I mean, pick their brains and tip them well. You know, don't just use their brains for your own purpose and say, hey, great, thanks. But the local people are always the best people to ask. They're going to know the water levels that are best to paddle at. They're going to know what's going on the river. Plus, you know, you meet a friend, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Mike in Madison. Good morning, Mike. Hello.
Hi. I was glad you mentioned the Kickapoo, but my wife and I, that was our first canoe trip back in the 70s, and I remember it well because we saw a pileated woodpecker. That's the only time first time I ever saw one. But anyway, it was very slow, mosquito type. But in the area of where the Lafarge Dam was supposed to go, is that whole area canoeable now yet, or...
Yes, it is. That goes to the Kickapoo Valley Reserve, which luckily they didn't put a dam in there and kept the river like it is. The whole Kickapoo is paddleable all the way down to the confluence with Wisconsin.
Great.
Mike, thank you so much for the call. Let's go to Samantha in Whitehall. Good morning, Samantha. Hello.
Hi. My question is, and I'll take my answer off here, but I just wanted to know, years ago when I went to camp up north, Lions Camp, we had kayaking. And I haven't done it since, and I was just kind of wondering what would be the best equipment to start out with, like to buy to start out doing that sort of thing. And I'll take my answer off the air.
Yeah, that's an interesting question that usually requires 20 questions. So it depends on lots of things. So where are you going to go? What's your fitness level? How much do you need to lift? Because all those things matter, the design, the seat. The best way to choose, again, is talk to someone who's done this before and knows what they're talking about. So, I mean, that's what we do all day long. Is just, so where are you going to go? What are you going to do? How tall is your car? Do you need to lift your boat on top of your car? You know, there's solutions for that. So that's the number one impediment, especially for women who want to paddle alone, is transporting their boat. So luckily, boats are getting lighter and lighter and lighter. You can get a small kayak that's under 20 pounds.
Darren, does it matter what size you are? Like for me, for instance, I've maybe gone paddling maybe 3 times in my life, but it's something that I'm kind of interested in. Mm-hmm. So for me, I'm 6'2", about 245, 250 pounds or so. Does it matter in terms of what size you are as to what type of kayak or what type of canoe you're looking for?
It matters less with canoes. It definitely matters with kayaks because there's lots of different variables. In a canoe, you're sitting in a teacup, right? There's no top. In a kayak, you're sitting in a bottle, right? So you've got to have a different size cockpit, perhaps, and you've got to have a different size deck height. I don't know how size your feet is actually a huge deal because if the deck's too low, then your feet get cramped. So yeah, fit is super important. And I always say it's kind of like buying a suit. You know, you buy off the rack, you get as close as you can, and then you make modifications if you need to.
Sure. Let's do this. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Jeff in Madison. Good morning, Jeff. Hello.
Yeah, just interesting places to paddle. I grew up in Maine and really have a fondness for sea kayaking. A few years back, a colleague and I had some work in New Zealand, and we didn't have too much time, so we stayed on the North Island. We had like a weekend free and visited what's known as the Coromandel Peninsula, which is fairly well known. But we found a sea kayaking company. We were three tandem boats with a guide, and we were supposed to head northwest along the peninsula shoreline, but the guide took us straight out to sea. I'm going, where the heck? And I realized there was an island on the horizon you could see. We headed for that, and unbeknownst to us, he there was a wind-carved tunnel right through the island, which we paddled through. You could see the light at the end of the tunnel, but we paddled through the island and then got back to, on route to, ended up in Cathedral Cove, which if anyone visits New Zealand, most people head right to the South Island because that's the most dramatic Swiss Alpine-looking region, but the Coromandel Peninsula is just fantastic for paddling.
Well, it's a great story. Great story. Yeah, I've heard so many stories like this. I've got some friends that I call them frustumers. They're friends, customers, and I've known them for. I sold them their first kayaks in the 90s, and they came in to see me, and you know, it's all hugs all around. And they, oh yeah, I went to Vietnam. That was really awesome. And I went to Greenland, and that was really awesome. And then I went to South Island, New Zealand, and saw the glaciers, and that was really awesome. It's like, I'm really glad that I can, by proxy, put people in places like that, even if I can't go there yet. That's a real a good feeling for me.
Sure. Darren, Canoecopia is coming up soon.
Sure.
March 8th through the 10th at the Alliant Energy Center. First of all, how long have you been putting on this event?
It's been going on for about 40 years.
Wow.
It started off in front of the old shop on Park Street, Meet the Boats Who Build the Boats, and it was, you know, three trailers and a couple guys, and that's it. I took it over in 96, I think, when they built the new Dane County, or the Alliant Energy Center, and started expanding the floor plan, expanding the offerings, expanding the speakers. The speakers and presentations are actually the thing I like the best about Canoecopia. It's basically paddling university in 3 days. You know, you can learn, there's 150 something presentations about places to go, how to do it, inspirational stories from different people. There's a gentleman speaking this year about paddling the Grand Canyon, who's blind, and yeah, that's pretty inspirational. It's cool.
For those who have never gone to Canoecopia, maybe this is their first time, or maybe they're thinking about going. What's it all about?
What's it all about? This is a theme in my life. It's about community. It's, for me, it's like a family reunion, because anybody who walks to that door automatically has something in common with me and with everybody else there. So we try and create a community where paddlers can come together when they can't paddle yet. It's March. It's, you know, kind of icky out. But everybody gets together, and it's the kickoff for the season. So it's just, it feels good there. There's a real spirit of community. And the education's great, and the gear is great. But that's the secondary reason I do this, if that makes sense.
No, I understand. Yeah. I understand perfectly. Yeah. It's a passion of yours. And you know,
absolutely.
I can sit here and listen to you and listen to you talk about paddling and how much you love and how much you enjoy it, that it's a way of life for you and probably for many people as well.
The only thing better than paddling is getting somebody else into paddling. it's such a rush.
Yeah.
When someone comes in and says, "Hey, I just want to get into this and I have no idea what I'm doing," it's like, this is wonderful. Your life is going to change and you don't even know it yet.
Darren Bush joins us. He's the chief paddling evangelist and owner of Rutabaga Paddle Sports. We're talking about Canoecopia and also taking your questions and emails about paddling. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Rick in Milwaukee. Good morning, Rick. Hello.
Oh, hello there. I've been canoeing for and kayaking for years. All I had was a big square stern aluminum canoe. But finally, I had to sell it because of some hip arthritis. I can't sit for the prolonged periods. So I picked up stand-up boarding, and I can stand-up board for 3 hours. But I've been doing it on some, and we always rent them at Upper Namabin Lake. And I'm sure there's Lake Geneva has a place where you can rent them, too. But I'm getting bored with stand-up boarding on lakes. Are there some trails where, you know, there might be a local place to rent a stand-up board? And I mean, within Milwaukee or between Milwaukee and Madison, you know, that area.
Sure. So there's on the Milwaukee River, and I always blank, it's Milwaukee Kayak Company or something like that. I can never remember. But if you Google kayak Milwaukee River, then they're going to pop up. They're fairly new. They've been around, I think, 3 or 4 years. Great people. They do a really good job. So that's one. There's a lot of different places. Not a lot of places on rivers, because stand-up paddling usually is more of a let's go out for an hour and you know, goof off and have a good time. But as far as like going down a river trail, if you're on your own, then that's not a bad idea. I mean, I would go down the Sugar River, certainly. I'd go down the Grant. Pretty much any stream around here that doesn't have a lot of, you know, class two, you can go through riffles. That's no big deal. In that case, I'd recommend an inflatable. Number one, they're easy to move around. And number two is they're very durable.
Rick, thank you so much for the call. Tom sent us an email. He said he's interested in rowing, actually sculling, and is interested in a one- or two-seater boat. Are there any dealers in rental shops where non-racing rowing sculling boats can be rented or bought in Milwaukee or Madison or the Green Bay area?
Not that I know of. Rowing and paddling are kind of like lions and tigers. They kind of look the same, but they're really different. I would say that most recreational rowers go through a club. That's your entry, is to find a club. So in Madison, we have, you know, the Lake Mendota Rowing Club. If they don't have recreational type rowing, they will have contacts who do.
Thank you for the email, Tom. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Gary in Stevens Point. Good morning, Gary. Hello.
Good morning. I'm looking for a kayaking adventure, and I'd heard about the Manicouagan Crater in Quebec, and wondering if Darren or anybody on his team has ever had any experience there that could share.
You know, I've never been there, but I discovered it, honestly, on Google Map. I was flying to Europe, oh gosh, 4, 5, 6 years ago maybe, and I was looking at the flight path on a website called FlightAware to see where the plane was going to fly, just because I'm a geek. And I'm scanning through Google Map, and all of a sudden there's this big ring that's clearly something not normal, and it was a meteor, and it's huge, and it's just this big circular lake. And it's in the middle of nowhere. And I know people have paddled it. I don't know if there's an outfitter up there. It's very remote. But I would put that right up there with, like, the Saguenay Peninsula or Gaspé. I mean, it's really cool.
Thank you for the call, Gary. Let's go back to Canucopia. Darren, what type of equipment will be offered at Canucopia? Because obviously there's going to be a lot of vendors there. Is there some breakthroughs in terms of new types of equipment or new types of kayaks or canoes?
Yeah, canoes, kayaks, stand-up boards, and then paddles, life jackets, paddle clothing, you know, anything you need to have to go paddling, it's going to be there. One of the things that's not new but is enjoying a renaissance is pack boats. And pack boats started in the Adirondacks back in the late 1800s. And they're small canoes, but you sit in the bottom of them and use a double-bladed paddle. And the reason they're growing in popularity is they're easy to load and unload. And they're also super, super light. So like under 20 pounds, you can get a boat that you can pick up with one hand and throw on top of your car. And people are doing long trips on them. They're getting these, they're 12 and a half to 14, 15 feet even. And people want to go to the Boundary Waters all the time. And let me back up a little bit. So I say Boundary Waters, like everybody knows what that is, right? It's like jargon. It's like, no. So the Boundary Waters, if you don't know, is about 2 million acres up right on the border with Minnesota. And it looks like someone shot a giant shotgun at it and each little pellet turned into a lake. There's just tons and tons of water. So, but if you want to go there in a kayak, you need to load and unload your boat every time you get to what's called a portage, which is a carryover to the next lake. You can't really do that with a kayak. It's hard to do. If you're going to use a kayak, go to Rainy Lake, because you can paddle for days without a portage. But for a pack boat, take two bags, throw them out, put them on your shoulder, walk over the portage, and get back in the water, and you're good. So pack boats are really coming around, and people are really enjoying the weight. That's really what's really driving that.
is with these pack boats, was this a just something that was popular at one point and then just kind of went away and then has now kind of come back into the mainstream, so to speak?
Exactly, yeah. I mean, it never really died, but
okay.
It was very regional. I mean, the Adirondacks is the kind of place that a pack boat's perfect for. So you've got a lake to paddle across, and you got a little hop over into the next lake. It's very much like the Boundary Waters, except smaller. So people just started realizing they wanted to use a double-bladed paddle because it's slightly more efficient, and you can move through the water a little bit easier. But the kayak didn't really work for that.
Now, you talked about pack boats. What are some of the other trends that you've seen in equipment besides pack boats over the last few years?
The big thing is weight. Everything's getting lighter. Canoes, kayaks, stand-up boards. The population is aging, right? The boomers are in full swing right now. And I'm the last year, the first year after boomers. And so I'm seeing me and my cohorts like, I don't want to pick that up. And, you know, I had a boat once. I was up in Canada carrying a boat over a 1,600-meter portage. I got in the middle of that, and it was like a 65-pound boat. And I thought, I own a paddle sport shop. What am I doing carrying this thing? It's a beast. And I went home and sold it and bought a nice Kevlar boat. And so, yeah, my go-to boats are in the low 40s.
Now, Canucopia has been around for 40 years. I'm sure you've probably seen the growth in popularity of this event. Tell us a little bit about that. How much growth have you seen, both with your business and with Canucopia, just over the last 5 to 10 years?
Kayaking kind of exploded in the mid-90s. And that happened because somebody finally figured out that people don't want just sea kayaks or just whitewater boats. They want something in the middle. So it's kind of like no one bought trucks until small trucks came out, right? Because no one needs an F-250. And suddenly these little trucks come out, these little SUVs, and it's like, oh, it's the perfect tool, right? So all these kayak companies figured out that they needed a different tool. When they did that, kayaking exploded. It's still growing. The biggest change in kayaking is kayak fishing. And that's a very specific boat designed just to fish out of. Now, it's stable, it's easy to get in and out of, it's easy to handle gear. What people realize is that gear is also good for bird watching or good for, you know, other places where you need a stable platform, photography, things like that. So that's really growing. Those are heavier, but they're getting lighter. So the same trend is happening there. People are making lighter and lighter boats.
And finally, Darren, if someone's interested in attending Canucopia, where do they go to get the information?
They can go to rutabaga.com and click on the Canucopia link, or they can go to canucopia.com directly.
Darren, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate the time.
Oh, thank you.
Darren Bush is the chief paddling evangelist and owner of Rutabaga Paddle Sports. He was with us to answer your questions about paddle sports, share his recent experiences traveling to various destinations, and how you can plan your trip. Coming up, Carla Bloom will join us. She's the executive director of the International Owl Center. We'll talk about owl vocalizations. This is Darrell Conner filling in today for Larry Mueller. Jill Nadeau is the producer. David Protraz is the board operator. You're listening to the Ideas Network.